It's the International Women in Film Podcast with your host, Michelle the Trainer. MTT is Michelle the Trainer.
Aloha and welcome to episode 6 of the International Women in Film Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle the Trainer. Today's very special guest star is Pilar Alessandra from On the Page. She's a director of the writing program On the Page, host of the popular On the Page podcast, and author of The Coffee Break Screenwriter. She started her career as a senior story analyst at DreamWorks SKG, and in 2001 opened the On the Page Writers Studio in Los Angeles. Her students and clients have written for The Walking Dead, Lost, House of Lies, Nip Tuck, and Family Guy. They've sold features and pitches to Warner Brothers, DreamWorks, Disney, and Sony, and have won several awards. She's trained writers at ABC Disney, CBS, and traveled the world teaching in London, Beijing, Warsaw, Ho Chi Minh City. This year she'll be teaching in Lisbon, Portugal, Cape Town, and South Africa. You can find out about her classes and consultations by going to her website, onthepage.tv, www.onthepage.tv. I really enjoyed the episode. I hope you enjoy hearing from Pilar. I had a million questions. If you have any other questions, email them to me and we'll get her back on the show. I hope you enjoy it. I totally did. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Dave Bullis from the Dave Bullis Podcast, and you're listening to the International Women in Film Podcast with your host, Michelle the Trainer.
Good morning. It's Michelle the Trainer here with the International Women in Film Podcast. And our very special guest star today is Pilar Alessandra. She is an illustrious script writing consultant right here in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. Thanks so much for coming on, Pilar.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Michelle.
So your website is onthepage.tv, and you have like a bazillion podcasts on your own, On the Page podcast. Just tell me everything. How did you get started with being a script writing consultant?
Well, as a consultant, I started when I had sort of a cool job being a script reader for Amblin Entertainment, which was Steven Spielberg's company. And then when they became DreamWorks, I'd been there long enough that I kind of became a senior story analyst there, and that allowed me to learn on the job. I was reading and writing script coverage for all the scripts that came in. And, you know, I was sort of fascinated by what was working in scripts and what wasn't working in scripts, and started developing some tools for writers based on what I was learning. I got to take those tools to UCLA Extension, and then I started my own studio, which is On the Page. And now I teach out of my own writer's studio in Los Angeles.
That's so awesome. So I can just picture you there with like a giant red pen, and you just like throw it back over the fence to Steven Spielberg, and then he gives the people the edits. What kind of contribution or editorial, like what was your feedback?
Well, when you're a script reader, you are fielding, there's so many scripts that come in. I mean, at the time, I think there were about 150 a week. So I certainly wasn't the only one. There was a pool of readers. And your job at that point is to say what kind of a script this is, what his strengths and weaknesses are, and whether or not it would make a good movie. And if you say, yep, I think it's going to work, then it sort of starts getting passed up to the bigger wigs. Every once in a while, I would also do script notes. Notes are on existing projects that they've taken on, where those notes then go to the writer, telling the writer, okay, this script is working, but this is what you need to do to improve upon it. This is where we need to cut. This is what characters we need to bring out. And so that's the kind of notes that I now give, because I don't work for the studios anymore. I now give my clients, because I also do in-person consultation. And I'll sit down with a script and I'll tell them what's working and what's not working. And we will work together to doctor that script and make it better so that they can put it out into the industry.
And then they can get past that front line.
Exactly. So that, you know, if they hit somebody like me, yeah, they can move forward. Exactly.
So what about somebody like me, right? I'm not in the industry. You know, I like movies. I watch subtitles. I want to write a screenplay. I blog a lot. I'm a nonfiction person. What would you tell me to do to get started with this?
Well, I think, you know, it's fun for people who blog or nonfiction people who sort of have a memoir kind of look at their writing. It's really fun to get them into fiction, because you can just say to them, okay, well, what was the worst thing that could have happened? What's the best thing that could have happened? That best or that worst becomes the fictional adaptation of your real life. And you get to take it from there and now sort of go into a fantasy element with the truth. And that now becomes a movie or a TV show. You know, it allows you to draw from real life and fantasize into fiction.
And then how do you recommend that people lay all this out? I was taking a look at your book.
Break screen here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I was listening to a podcast episode with Melissa Rauch from The Big Bang Theory, who plays Bernadette. And they were in love with this book. And her husband was saying that he actually was a coffee break screenwriter and used a lot of the tips. So what are some of the tips from that book that would be helpful for people?
Well, you know, all those tools were developed because what I started realizing when I was teaching classes is that people were using the classes as their writing time. People were so busy. We hardly have any time to create. So any moment somebody has to steal away, they were writing. So I would take breaks out in my own class and say, okay, here's the tool. You've got 10 minutes, do this. And then they would come up with something brilliant. So that became the basis for the book, The Coffee Break Screenwriter. And if you follow it just 10 minute intervals at a time, you can actually break story, outline, get into pages, and get into your rewrite. Because if you have focus and the right tool to use, those 10 minutes can be way more productive than you think.
Yeah, it's very spot on to understand that, especially in Los Angeles, right, where we're very fast paced. Nobody has time and nobody has accountability. It's why personal training exists, right? Because, you know, so people do, they go to writers groups and they go to writers, you know, different events and different classes. And it's very true that that is people's writing time, because that is the only time that they budgeted to do anything that is titled writing. So being able to aggregate different pieces of the day and continue that focus and do, you know, whereas in my head, I think that you need, you know, it's like the writer's room, right? You need a room full of whiteboards. And I love the idea of making it more practical and functional and attainable for everyone to be able to create in the world we're living in today without this extra room or this additional office space that nobody usually has to do character development all over the walls.
Exactly. It's, you know, think about when you're at work, right? And it is a literal coffee break. Okay. A lot of people spend that time going on Facebook, checking their Twitter. You know, if you're actually writing content anyway in those forums, why not use that 10 minutes to actually do something on your screenplay? And you're right, you don't need fancy whiteboards. You don't even need, you know, fancy software. I do advocate some kind of script software like Final Draft, so you don't have to indent and all that stuff. But once you have that, it's just that and your mind and go.
So if somebody were to go to onthepage.tv, I know that there are some recordings there, and could anybody start with that? Or is there a minimum? Is there a one-on-one requirement before somebody starts listening to that? And what if somebody's already written a couple of screenplays? Where do they start?
You know, I actually, all of my writing classes have a mixture of beginners and produced writers. The idea is if you're a beginner, you will have sort of an easy to follow step-by-step process. But I have produced writers in there because they are actually redesigning how they write. This is a more streamlined way of outlining and writing their script. So they appreciate it and they get more work done, and they can also cut to the quick as far as their rewrites go. So it really doesn't matter what level you're at. I would say that the classes can help you.
It's amazing. And your podcast is epic. You have like 500. It's like 420 something episodes. I took a look. I was like, whoa, how can I listen to all of this before Monday? You know, yeah, it's a lot of content, and you've had some great people on there. Are there any highlights that you want to share with us, or any, I'm sure again, for everyone, you've talked to writers, actors, directors. You've got the director of Game of Thrones. You've got the Rich Sommer from Mad Men. You had Bernadette from Big Bang. Well, not Bernadette, but Melissa Rauch from Big Bang, and she's working on her new movie.
I was really, really pleased. Her and Winston, a script that they wrote, they actually created, and it opened at Sundance, sold at Sundance, which was awesome. And so it was really cool that they used the book to develop their movie. So anybody I have on, if they're an actor, for example, also has a way into script. Either they're also writers or they're really good at interpreting the scripts. So we always bring it back to script writing, no matter who's on. Yeah, I was really psyched that David Nutter, he is the director of the Red Wedding episode and the finale episode that you just saw with Game of Thrones. And we had him on, and he was just such a kind man. And he talked about his way into telling story. And then he just won an Emmy for Best Director. So I was just like, woohoo!
That was really cool. It's definitely cool. But remember, the script gets passed around, right? So everybody's reading the script. So even, you know, Melissa's husband was talking about how cool it was to read The Big Bang before the episode because, hey, it's in his house, right? You know, right. It does get a lot of eyes. And the descriptive elements are very unique and very different. Then again, I read a lot of, like, anatomy and nonfiction type stuff. And bringing that all together into a scene and creating a scene is just amazing to me. So then when people approach you, and let's say I have a screenplay or I don't have a screenplay and I want to come and work with you, I would listen to the recordings. The podcasts are free. The coffee break book. Then what? Are there classes? Could you do one-on-one consulting? What else can we do?
I would like you to write.
No.
I'm sort of, if I get people and they've already taken my class, I'll actually tell them, you know, no more classes for you, start writing. So yeah, if you have sort of a way in, you can use the book or the recordings or whatever to get there. But then I want you to write and write again. And then if you do end up consulting with me, it has to be at a place where you feel you've done everything you can. You know, I really want, you know, the notes that I give you to be something that you don't already know. You're not just using me as a security blanket, it's because you've taken it as far as you can and now you need that last pass. I would say, Michelle, when you mentioned that you read a lot of nonfiction, I think it's useful for people to think about that even if you read nonfiction, to think about what are the descriptive passages that make you really visualize the idea in the nonfiction book or the subject matter that they're talking about, because the word choice is so important, and it still brings out something visual and extraordinary for you. It's that same technique that should be used when you're actually doing screenwriting to describe a place, an image, a person. So even if you're a fan of nonfiction, what is strong in nonfiction also works in fictional screenwriting. So I just wanted to put that in there. I'm always sort of fascinated that there aren't as many leaps between genres as we think.
I think it's amazing. And then, you know, I listened to Dave Bullis. I want to give him a shout out and a thank you for introducing me to you. Dave Bullis has a filmmaking podcast, and he interviewed Andrew Weir, W-E-I-R, who wrote The Martian, which it's 2015 now. And in 2015, that will be the Thanksgiving movie of the year. And that was sort of like he blogged it and then he got a letter and then he gave it away for free. But the whole story was on his site, you know, just kind of, I was just wondering if you had heard about that and what you thought of that whole, because that was such a like today thing to happen, but sort of a miracle intersection of him putting it out there, you know, without a typical final draft type format. And yet it got picked up anyway.
Well, in that case, right, it was turned into a book first and then the movie, right?
True, yes.
The book is, I think that it is a good example. When people are blogging so much anyway, they're doing it from this first person narrative. And so was the book, The Martian. You know, it was all, you know, oh gosh, this has happened to me, so I've got to do this. You know, it's very much like how we would blog. So you take that same kind of writing voice and you assign it to a fictional character instead of you, and suddenly that is a main character in a movie-like situation. So of course that book then had to be adapted to screenplay because we had to take all those inner musings and turn them outward so that you could visually see what he's describing. That takes the right kind of expression in a screenplay to bring that to screen. But yeah, you might be blogging and you don't even realize that with a little fantasizing plus that blogging, you're a main character in a movie.
Then even the research, you know, he had sort of a research aspect where he was able to problem solve himself. So, of course, that was a sci-fi genre, right? And then he, you know, I guess he's, you know, out as a Martian, you know, on some other planet. And, you know, he's got problems to solve in order to sustain his life there. And so those problems to solve did require some other additional research, which again, so, you know, starting out for those of us who have not started the actual screenplay, you know, you're thinking, oh my goodness, do I need a research team? How would you recommend that people integrate that type of science or that? Keep going back to nonfiction.
Right? Yeah. No, but no, it, you know, it is all the same. I usually tell people, write your plot point first, write what you want your story to be first, and then find the research to support it. What happens when people start researching first is they go down these rabbit holes because there are any number of stories to tell once you start researching cool things. So it actually drives a lot of writers mad because now they're writing 30 stories at one time instead of the one that they had decided on. So write sort of like the blueprint of your own story first, then go in, find the research that supports that or adjust the plot point to make it work for reality. But don't chase the research. Let the research chase your story.
Oh, I love that. So what about successful clients? Can you tell us? Can you share that? Is it a super secret?
Well, I will say that if you do listen to the podcast or you look at the list of guests there, 3/4 of them were students or clients of mine.
That's amazing.
That's 420 episodes. You know, 1/4 of them are just people I got lucky enough to meet. Yeah, I've worked with at least 3/4 of them. So that's my brag list right there.
Yeah, it's an epic. She has 400 on the day that we're recording this. She has 420 published episodes of On the Page Screenwriting Podcast on iTunes. It's epic.
Crazy.
It's an epic. So you told me you started podcasting in what year?
8 years ago. And you were funny. You're like, wow, was there a gigantic microphone? You know?
Yeah, was like a big round cable and a you know, like a Victrola to record. Or that was like before USB microphones existed. I don't think I could do this before that.
Well, you know what's so funny is, yeah, I mean, it is amazing what's happened only in 8 years. You're like, Twitter wasn't around, Kickstarter wasn't around, Facebook was only something that, you know, people were being very secretive about, you know.
Yeah, did you change your tech between, because didn't you have to do like analog mixing then and then like move it up to USB or?
Yeah, we've used GarageBand the whole time. We have.
Oh, you're a Mac person.
Yeah, there it is. We are. Yes.
Super artist. I should call.
But, you know, it's not just that. It's also the way that writers brand themselves and communicate with each other. That technologically has changed so much. So that's what I mean about Kickstarter, Indiegogo, Twitter, Facebook. And it can be a blessing and a curse because it used to be that writers just wrote, right? And then...
Writers have to write those campaigns, which is a whole nother bunch of really... It has to be great writing.
And it's tough because... You know, a lot of people who write are naturally introverted, and yet they're expected to be sort of these extroverts in social media. And it is this balance between, you know, letting people know who you are and what you write and, you know, what your stamp is on the page and actually getting the work done and making sure that's high quality. I mean, I think that the script comes first, but yeah, it is 2015 and you have to also sort of be out in the world and let people know who you are. So that has definitely changed over the course of 8 years.
Sort of an interesting thing because, you know, I was an engineer and it took me a long time to put my picture on my business card. And it is a thing, you know, you just want to be able to like make a living. You don't necessarily want to be a celebrity in order to make a living. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Nobody should have to.
Yeah, but now it seems like everybody has to be, you know, and then there's something good about just writing and telling your story and making your mark and giving your message. And, you know, that's rewarding.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you got to do the work, do good work. And do good work all over the place and brand yourself, you know, be okay about, you know, letting people know who you are and how you write. That's important these days.
Okay, so could I approach you? Let's say I had one screenplay that I had rewritten and I'm hitting the wall and I can't edit anymore and friends and family have looked at it and thrown it back at me. And then I want to meet with you or do I need to have like 3 of these?
No. For meeting with me, I'm the person who's supposed to help you. I'm not somebody who's going to sell your stuff. So, of course, you can, have only one project, and that's what we can work on. No problem. I will tell you and everybody listening that I am booked usually 6 months in advance. So sometimes what I ask people to do is, if you foresee working with me in the future, get on the schedule now. You certainly don't have to pay till you get there, but that way at least you're on the calendar and I can be your first draft deadline.
Well, yeah, because you are you. We are our own bottleneck, right? Isn't the built-in scarcity, if it's only you, it's only you.
It's only me.
And you're located in Los Angeles, correct?
I have a studio in Studio City. I teach live classes, but as you mentioned, I also have some recorded classes online. If you go to onthepage.tv and go to the online section, there are recorded classes. There's a nice little five class package. It's not that shiny as far as its production quality goes, but the classes include breaking story, scene work, character work, dialogue, and it should definitely at least get you going.
Well, but
So
look,
yeah,
but
there's
you also have 420 hours more or less of content on iTunes.
You'll get a lot of different people's perspectives on the business side of it. And
Ah.
that's why I like to have my people on who are, in the business, because they can teach you something I cannot, which is, what is it like to be out in the world actually doing this? My stuff is all, let's get the content on the page. Their stuff is, and this is what happens next.
Your theme song for your podcast sums it
Awesome,
all up. I could not, I was like, wow, she has a theme song and it's good. And it totally sums it up. You're right. You really do want people just to write. So the
Yes,
theme
I really
song
do.
for Pilar's podcast goes, get it out of my head and out of your head and onto the page.
Onto the page, exactly.
And even your brand is just amazing. You've got On the Page TV. It's your only website. I have like 25 websites, right? And then, yeah, but the theme song is very catchy and very cool, but it's true. We all have stories in our head and we should get them out onto the page. I mean, it never gets easier. We never really have more time. Now is the time. We can get her Coffee Break screenwriter book. She's got the recorded classes on the thing. She's got hours and hours of amazing guest interviews on the podcast available to us. You can still listen to mine when you start listening to hers. I'm not, I know that you guys all have limited podcast listening time. Yeah, I will definitely. I'm very inspired and I really want to thank you for being a guest because it does call to me as well to actually get out of nonfiction and start to write a story and just not worry about it. Just get it out of my head and onto the page.
Exactly. It's not going to be perfect the first time around, but wouldn't it be great if it was finished?
Listening to the guy who wrote The Martian, it's really kind of funny. He's like, yeah, I love my job. I just really like to write. They called me up, but they wrote me the check for the book. Now it's the movie. Now there's a trailer with Matt Damon for his movie for Thanksgiving. I mean,
Right, I know.
Thanksgiving movies are like a big deal,
And the only difference between him and somebody who hasn't started yet is he started, he finished, he put it out in the world, and somebody understood and liked his idea and took it from there. So yeah, don't, be brave, get it on the page, rewrite it, push it out in the world for sure.
And we are so lucky to have you, the very qualified secret weapon, on our side.
Thanks, Michelle.
All right. Thank you so much, Pilar. And again, I'll give you guys all the links and everything in the show notes. Thank you so much, Pilar, for your time. And just really thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Hey, we've got a super fun treat. We have permission from Pilar Alessandra to play the theme song to her podcast, On the Page. I totally love it. I hope you enjoy it. Bye-bye.
My agent called, he said he got some interest in my script. I'm glad I didn't tell him that I never finished it. I got my cast of characters and outline for the plot. I even got a famous classic case of writer's block. Get it out of my head.
Get it out
of my head.
Get it out
of my head.
Get it
out of my head.
Get it
out of your head and onto the page. Get it out of your head and onto the page. Get it out of your head and onto the page. Get it out of your head and onto the page.
Find us at michellethetrainer.com. That's MICHELE, the TRAINER.com. Read Michelle's blog posts at engineeringwellness.com. Tweet at Michelle Traynor on Twitter. That's MichelleTrainer. Or email the International Women in Film Podcast at IWIF@michellethetrainer.com.